Who else just chimed in? Hey, Aaron.
Hi.
Hey, Charles is on.
Who else?
Adam.
Adam.
And Charles.
On? Charles.
Darren Mancuso.
What's up, Darren?
Hey.
Who else
this is
on?
Naif.
Naif.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, Tom. Hope everybody's having a fantastic day so far. Hey, I'm showing 4 o'clock, so who just chimed in?
Chad here.
Hey, Chad.
How's it going, Mike?
Good, how are you?
Very well, very well.
Good, good. Yeah, everybody, more people are going to ding in like that, so.
Well.
Let's kick it off. Mont, you were on first, man. Take us away.
Aaron?
Market selection, right? Or did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I can. Nope, I'm still here where I came back.
Mont's on his way to a landlord meeting, so let's get his update quick.
Yeah, I am, you know, having trouble finding in the P ratio. I've been through 20, 30 home or cities now trying to find a good sweet spot P ratio city. Other than those two I gave you and then the one I'm already in Wichita, Kansas. So where is a city that I should be
I think a couple of the ones I think a couple of the ones you brought up are fine. We want to be closer to 14 than the 5. So if I remember back, you had a couple that were 15, 16.
Yeah, the
those
two I
definitely
had picked
work.
Were 16s. Yeah, 16s.
Yep. Yeah, those work. So the higher the number gets, the more you're erring on the side of oversaturated market. The lower the number gets, the more hyper-competitive you get. So better to have more deals than hardly any at all to get into.
Well,
so.
that's what I saw. Now, does it also matter how many I find under 100,000K? Is that
yep.
any indicator?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, again, we're going, you know, low-hanging fruit, so more people can, more investors can buy a cheaper house, and so we want to play the percentages. So, yeah, if you go into like, you know, Maryland, D.C. area, around there, San Diego, even though, you know, the P ratio could be perfect, but average home price, average single-family home price, and then the amount of inventory below 100,000 will be very little. So.
Yeah, yeah, I saw some that. Yeah, I saw
you've got
some
two
that's
there.
Less than 100.
Yep. So too high price, so we want to go somewhere else. You've got a couple that you could, I mean, honestly, you could flip a coin on both of
okay.
those. So, yep.
Okay.
Yeah, shoot me back an email with the one that you pick, and let's get that fired up. Doesn't
all right.
We want to get close.
Yeah, I kind of answered just before I took off on the road here, but we'll talk to you soon.
Perfect. That sounds good. Yeah, you can mute us out with *6, and then good luck with your appointment.
Okay.
All right, good stuff. Aaron, you want to chime in?
Yeah, I'm here. I'll just listen to what's going on. I don't know. What are we doing?
You can just listen if you want. Yeah, man, I just heard you chime in, so welcome. Yeah, let me know later on if you want to do an update. I think you're still picking your city. Does that sound right?
Yeah, well, I got to actually doing it, and you know, when you're looking at the video, it looks easier when you get to actually doing it. Since I'm not that computer savvy, you know, I had to go and switching from one screen to the other, and then pulling up the information
yep.
and putting it in there. So I need a little bit more practice with that, doing that, and going through the video, and then trying it two or three more times, you know, so I can actually do it, because I know that's one of the most important things. So I need to get comfortable with doing that. I know how to do all this stuff, but just that putting it all onto the spreadsheet, and I watched all three of the videos.
Yep.
So,
yeah, you just follow that video step by step. You got it. And then when you have 10 cities, when you have research on 10 cities, send it into the coaching email, all right? There's just go through those steps in step one.
Those 10 cities, do we do the research on all? Okay, how do we select the 10 cities? We go...
Did you watch Rob's video in there?
I did. I watched
That's
all three of them. I watched them.
So he likes east of the Mississippi.
Right.
With picking up Texas, Oklahoma, and a couple of those Midwest. So that from that part of the country, pick any 10 you find interesting for whatever reason. Yep.
And then we do the MSAs rather than the cities, right?
As long as you stay consistent. Yep.
Okay.
So if you're going to pull MSA population and pull MSA property data. If you're going to do city, pull city and city. But
okay.
We typically
okay.
run MSA. Yep. So
okay.
yeah, listen in to these updates, and then if you have any other questions or anything, kind of towards the end here, let me know. So, who's on at step 3, 4, 5? That's on. I know we have quite a few checked in. I didn't get everybody's name. Who's got an update question?
Mark,
hey, Mike,
this is Mike Page.
Oh. Mike Page, go ahead. I heard your name, so then I'll get to everybody.
Okay, so just to kind of update you, so the bird dogs that I hired, they ended up finding about 150 properties.
Nice.
The problem I had was that none of them are going into FreedomSoft. Well, maybe I'm just expecting too much. I kind of thought when they emailed them into FreedomSoft, they would populate all the data for the house and put the pictures in there, but that's not happening.
Comes into the notes section.
Okay.
All the information they send over, if they use an iPhone, it will FreedomSoft will peel off that photo and stick it on the pictures link inside that property. If it comes from an Android, it won't.
So one of the people did have an iPhone, and the link came through correctly into the notes section, but the photo didn't, and then maybe she didn't take any either. This is another thing. I could be just getting scammed, but they could be just looking up or houses in the app and not even doing anything. I don't know, but
definitely get that picture. Make sure they're following the steps on that document. I've got an iPhone. Rob has iPhone, so we're more familiar with that process. But the photo definitely comes in because we use it on a weekly basis.
Okay. And when I click on the link, I mean, when I go to the bottom, it does show a photo of it, but I'm assuming that's coming from Google somehow.
Yeah, that's however they're piping in the right, either from Google Maps or whatever HomeSnap's getting their imaging from.
Yeah, and then the Android one, yeah, that's all scrambled. But there is a so what I've been doing is having her just send it directly to my Gmail account, and then it comes through correctly with the link. And the other thing you can do is you can just say instead of sending the in line in the app with the Android phone, if they click on the little three dots, they can do share. And then they can put in a email address, and then that seems to work fine.
Yep.
So
yeah, it won't. To individually parse that data for every user and where it's coming from and where they wanted it would be a monumental undertaking. So it's going to park it in the notes section.
Okay. Okay. So then you manually go in and put the address in there and everything, so you can see it in the list.
Yeah, you can actually have your VA start there. Just give them access to that. To that campaign, they can grab the data you have and just, you know, fill it in, and that's that'd be a great kind of a step one with what you're having your VAs do.
Okay,
and fill out the lead record.
Okay, and I'm not vetting every lead either. I mean, this is my first time kind of doing it, so I'm just kind of took their word for it, and I paid them. I probably should have looked through everyone, but I didn't want to.
Take a sample, grab a handful. If 100 come in and you want to, you know, double check on 10. Something like that.
Okay.
Are duplicates going to happen? Yeah.
It does.
Could somebody just go totally sideways and make it up? Maybe. But, yeah, you want to check through. But, yeah, certainly don't look at all of them. Too much time.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, for the money, I mean, it's such a small amount. I mean, they're doing it for $3 a lead. And so I'm assuming most of those are good. And, I mean, you just – I'm assuming if they're boarded up, they're probably nobody in there and vacant.
Yeah,
so.
Well, it's just squatters are in there. But, yep.
Yeah.
Squatters and vampires. Those are the only people that live in the dark. So.
Totally.
Yeah, good stuff. Do you have skip tracers lined up, VAs, to start doing the research?
My nephew's probably on the phone. He's been going through some of them and finding the people that own them and everything. So he's kind of my VA for now, PA.
Yep. Okay.
So then we just basically start finding the owners? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then just start calling them.
Property research for the owner, and then skip trace that owner. Yeah, okay. you're gonna come back with phone numbers and absolutely call them and go through the script. So when you guys have leads there, let us know. But you can you can follow Rob's script. Very, very simple to introduce that call. Step four, talking to sellers. So let's get some skip trays back, and then I'll have you dive into a little bit of step four. So you can jump on the phone.
Okay. Yeah, that's basically where I'm. Yep. That's basically where I'm at. So that would only be if we want to. Never mind. I was thinking what we do, like, to find the ARV. Are we just looking like on starting with like Zillow or the price on HomeSnap or where?
Yeah,
how do we know we
not
get
even,
that?
Not even talking ARV just yet. We're gonna go.
Okay.
We're gonna make offers first. We're gonna research off the ones you get under contract second. And get to the bottom of all that. But through the phone conversations, what do you owe? How long have you had it? You know, that script that gets laid out in step four.
Uh-huh.
Start asking all these questions. And then if, you know, eventually you'll just say, hey, you know, I can pay X amount for this house in your neighborhood right up front. Just get the data. We want to know their motivation and go through that script. What we're really looking for is the motivation. So we're not even going to worry about ARV yet. We can run the numbers very quickly on a house. What we want to find, the whole point of this is to find motivated sellers. And then the analysis comes together fast. So, yep. So your focus, we've got to get that. You're at 150 vacants. We've got to get that to 250. That's the initial goal. Don't stop them there, obviously. But that's the initial goal. And then we've got to get all of those skip traced, researched and skip traced.
Okay, I see.
Yep.
So on the first call, I'm not even talking price at all. I'm just trying to find the motivated seller.
You could, but it's more about motivation. Why are they looking to sell? How bad is the pain? If the pain is there, we can very quickly put together an offer. And it's easy to say, you know, you get to a place where the call needs an offer, but, you know, maybe it's your first one. You don't know what to offer yet. You say, I tell you what, that's the info I needed for now. Let me do a little research on this, a little due diligence on the property, and I'll call you back with an offer price. And so you can just, it's very simple to buy time at the end of a conversation if you don't want to just make the offer right there. So Olivia's told her story a few times on here. She was talking to one of her first conversations, I think it was. And she just, you know, she got some details on the house. The lady bought it, I don't know, 6 or 8 years ago for $40,000. And Olivia just, she felt like throwing an offer. She said, if I offered you 10, would you take it? And Olivia said, sure. And, you know, off to the races, and she had to mail out a contract. You know, they didn't have a computer or email or that kind of thing, and they've had some back and forth, but she got to the point and just threw a number on the table, and they took it. So you'll just have to, when you're on the phone, it'll come together. Either you'll throw an offer out right there or, with a one-line sentence, you just bought yourself some time. So.
Okay.
Yep. All right. So that's the goal, 100 more leads, and then research and phone numbers for all of those. You guys will be on the phone in the near future. So, good stuff. Who else? Steps 3, 4, and 5.
This is Naif.
Naif.
Yeah. All right. So, I've been going back and forth. I'll start with the negative first. So I was working on a one deal, and, you know, I had two buyers who were interested in it. A lot of weird things happened. And then I think when they saw my assignment fee of $10,000, they kind of freaked out for whatever reason. Then they started lowering the price. And now there's something called a receivership lien on a property. I didn't know what it really was. And basically, you know, I think the home's been vacant for too long. He wants from, you know, whoever wants to fix it up wants an entire plan that you can actually fix it up and everything. And so my buyer, once he found out, is like, oh, this is a lot more than we expected. And, you know, now I have to lower my price even more. So to me, it's not making a whole lot of sense. I'm like, you know, it's not like you're spending more money to do this. So why do you need to lower my price now by almost $20,000? So that's one problem I'm trying to solve. I'm not sure how I will, but I'll do the best I can do.
So tell us the numbers on the deal. You've got it under contract for how much?
Okay, first, right now I have it under for 37. I was trying to sell it for 50.
Okay.
And then I had another buyer.
How much? Well, wait. How much work does it need, and what do you think it's worth fixed up?
Okay. So I got it for 37.
Yep.
I'm trying to sell it for 50. And the work is around, it depends how much work you want to do. If you want to go absolute economy, it's around, or average, it's around 48. If you want to go luxury, it's around 65. The ARV is anywhere from 120 to 140. So depending on how much work they want to do and what they want to do, the net profit for an rehabber would be anywhere from 20 to 30, over $30,000.
Okay, hang on a second. So fix-up price is 36 to 65. ARV is 100 and a quarter. Right?
Yeah, 140.
And you're going to sell it to me for 50. So if I pay 50 for it and put 50 in, I'm at 100 without any expenses, and my ARV is 125. That deal is just way
too high. ARV is all 140 plus.
The ARV is what?
ARV, 140 plus.
Okay, I heard you wrong. I thought you said 120.
Yeah.
125.
No, 140.
Okay. 140
yeah.
plus. What do you think the range is?
It's quite a large range. It goes up to 180. But I did my numbers more conservatively so that, you know, whoever looks at it doesn't complain that, oh, my numbers are too optimistic.
Yeah, so I dig these numbers.
And the buyer likes it too. And saw...
Go ahead, sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, when he saw the numbers, he was really impressed, and he brought in his contractor, he brought in his electrician, his plumber, and every guy you can imagine. And every time he's like, "Wow, your numbers are really good. Your numbers are really good." And then everything was good until I sent him the contract, and then he's like, "Oh, I thought you had He just comes up with different excuses. I don't exactly know what his main issue is, but his current issue is that
there's
a receivership. Sorry?
Let's get it to more buyers. A legitimate buyer who sees this deal and sees you're making 10 grand, so what? You brought me a good deal.
Exactly,
if they have an issue with that number, just let's get this in front of more people. If these numbers are accurate, and I believe you, I like this for a flip.
Yeah. And that's one. And then another property I have on Cleveland, I got it for $7,000. Yeah, $7,000.
Okay.
And it's under contract. And the ARV is around, $35,000 to $45,000. So most likely it's buy and flip. Can you hear me clearly?
Yeah, 35 or 85.
Okay. No, $35,000 to $45,000.
Okay.
Yeah, $3,500 to $4,500. And the fix-up cost on this would be around $20,000 to $25,000 to bring it up to rental grade. And I still think my price is a bit higher end, but I just wanted to see what happens. I just wanted to throw it out in Craigslist and get a couple of hold of buyers and see what they reply to. That was my main objective. And I can maybe go negotiate the price afterwards with the seller if I really needed to. And what I realized is that even with a cap rate of 28 and a return of cash in 7 years in Cleveland, these numbers are not the best. They want their money back in less than three years.
So you've got it at seven. What are you trying to sell it for?
I put it at 15, 17.
Can you move it to 10?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was going to do it, but I can put it at 10.
This is a tiny little deal. So give somebody a good deal on the back end, get your base hit, and see if you can get out. I mean, you throw a deal out for $10,000, and people just, obviously, a boatload of investors can just pick it up.
Okay.
So, move it out there. That price, I mean, average typical wholesale fee is 5 to 10, but we're moving a tiny little thing here, and it's only worth 35
to
45.
Exactly.
You pick it up that deep on something that's worth 60, 70, 80, mark it up 10. This one just isn't.
Right.
So adjust your fee accordingly and get a nice little base hit out of the deal.
Okay. And I've been also calling some cash buyers just so that pipeline is still working. I set up the Craigslist swipers, and I actually – the Craigslist is not too bad. I mean, I'm actually speaking to more sellers through Craigslist. And the skip tracing is still problematic. I mean, thank God that you guys told us the solution of going to the county records, because otherwise it would still be in darkness. So that has solved the problem and narrowed down who we should be going after. But even after we're skip tracing, we have Intellius, and we also have PeopleSmart. But PeopleSmart cannot be used by VAs outside of America, so that's out. But Intellius can be. And also TLO, I cannot use it outside of America, so that's out. So Intellius is the only one, and I'm thinking all the numbers we're getting, I'm going to have a VA just call these numbers up and get rid of the disconnected ones, and hopefully we can trace somebody down that way. But I have over 400 leads right now from the drivers, and I put a stop on my lead generation because I can't keep up with the skip tracing, because right before I got on the phone, I spent over an hour, and I couldn't even get a hold of a single seller, and I dialed over like 50, 60 numbers.
Shutting off your bird dogs is a good problem to have. You can, in the near future, maybe we'll talk about selling those leads, or you guys just get on board and a little more dialed with skip tracing so you can handle the volume, because this is killer. But you've got a couple of live ones here. So more buyers to the bigger one, and just turn a little – hey, here's the other thing, you guys. We would just be so upfront with our buyers. We would just come to them and say, here's the deal. You know, I found this little beater. I picked it up for $7,000. I'm just trying to make three, turn a little profit. $10,000 price to you. It needs about 15, and you can rent it for X. I mean, clearly, Naif, this $35,000 to $45,000 is not a fix and flip. Like a great little buy and hold. So just throw it on the table. Yeah. And then there is no issue for them to get upset about. Hey, man, here's the thing. I've got even if you don't tell them what you have to sign for. Sometimes we would, not always, right? But you can kind of, get a feel for the conversation. Who's the buyer on the other end? Here's the thing, man. This is a great little flip. I'm trying to make a $10,000 wholesale fee on it. I'll send it to you for 50. Put 50 into it. ARVs are 140 plus, depending on what level you take the fix up to. Smoking deal. Bam. And just, if you think it's going to be an issue, just throw it on the table. Then they can't come back and say, oh, you're making too much on this. But the bottom line is, get that one to more buyers. Those are strong numbers.
How do I get it to more buyers? That's the thing. I put it on Craigslist, and I have a, I
what
created
are you doing
a
step five in the coaching center.
Step five, the cash buyers list.
Yeah, that one.
Have you gone through? Yeah, because no, I haven't gone through it. What I did is, we have the cash buyers list that we can generate from FreedomSoft. And also, we started the lead swiper thing for the cash buyers because my friend is taking a look at the cash buyers end. And also, what I realized is that a lot of the a lot of the cash buyers you're pulling up from Craigslist, it happens to be wholesalers. And the cash buyers from FreedomSoft are good, but you can't always trace them because they're LLCs. And so all the ones I can trace, I trace them on Google and basically call them up and see what they want and what they don't want. Another thing I'm doing with the buy and hold is calling up Go Section 8 and see, if you're a landlord already, chances are hopefully you want to buy another one.
Well, but yeah, and you've got a flip deal here. Who knows flip people in town? Right off the top of your head.
Hard money lenders.
Hard money.
Hard
money.
Okay.
Lenders work with fix and flip investors. Yeah. So go through that training in there, 7 ways to jumpstart your buyer's list. But you've got to hustle that one because those numbers are solid. So good stuff.
Yeah, I really hope I can get that one done.
Olivia,
who else is on 3, 4, 5? Hey, Olivia.
Hey there. So I'm answering the question about the buy and hold analysis. My brain's more geared to fix and flip, but I've got to take a look at this because there's a lot of times, like you just spoke with the gentleman before, where he could do a buy and hold, with a little property. Well, so anyway, the on that one I spoke to you about that was a little bit slim, only $9,000 for a wholesale. for the buy and hold, it's 11.8% annual ROI, 25.1 cap rate, and a 313 net.
You just have to get the messaging right.
Okay.
So listen, once you've looked at a handful of deals, you're going to have a hunch when you start to see the numbers on a deal, where it's going to go. But up front, everybody, run every deal. When you go to analyze one, run it as a buy and hold and a fix and flip, because it's not about our perspective. It's about who's the perspective on the other end. Is somebody going to give you money for this? Would you give you money for the deal? Would you buy it, right? So some deals will work both. Like, for instance, Knife's deal here that, you know, he's going to sell for 50. If you fully tune it up, you put 65 into it, ARVs are 140 plus, that's probably a good flip or a good hold, depending on what people want. You just never know. That one probably goes either way. But then he talks about this second deal under contract, $7,000, ARV 35 to 45. There is no flip activity in a $35,000 neighborhood. I shouldn't say there isn't any. There's very little, right? Classic buy and hold neighborhood with those kind of numbers. I mean, if he has it under at 7, like I just told him, try and make $3,000, move it for 10, get in and out of it. I mean, somebody can cash advance a credit card for $10,000 and show up at closing. So, but yeah, as you're looking at them, some will go both, some won't. If you're not sure, run it both ways and see. Because the marketing message has to be right. If you come out of the gate as a wholesaler and start selling a property, and the experienced investors look at it and say, this person has no idea what they're talking about, because you're putting out a fix and flip deal that makes $9,000, you're loading the gun and aiming it at your foot and maybe pulling the trigger, right? So you want to run both so that you can get that marketing message right. So
I have a question.
Yeah, who's this?
It's Judah.
Hey, Judah.
Hey, speaking of investors getting butt hurt because you're making too much money, when do you wholesale versus when do you double close so that you can, or I'm sorry, yeah, double close so that they're not seeing what you locked it up for?
You totally can. Yeah. That's what I was telling
when,
you.
When though? What's the threshold?
Oh, if I, good question. Depends more on the buyer than it does on the amount. I mean, I moved the deal a couple years ago, and I knew the buyer, and I said, hey, I'm marking it up $30,000, but I think you can make 120 on a fix and flip, and she said, that's fine.
Okay.
But I knew her. I had a track record. So, yeah, Naif, the other option is, instead of the assignment, double close it where they don't see the other side of the transaction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The assignment, obviously, a little bit easier on the paperwork side, but that's what I was telling you. Get it out on the table. Hey, I've got a $10,000 assignment fee on this one. But here's the deal. Buy it from me for 50, put X amount into it. You know, we've got comps that support this. So this is a solid little deal.
The only thing with the double close is that, I dealt with I called a couple of title companies, and not all of them will use the buyer's funds to close the transaction.
What's the
solution? So you would have to do a longer double close.
Yeah, just flash
or
cash.
Like, I would have to have my own fund.
Flash cash buy side.
Transactional funding.
Transactional funding, flash cash, one-day funding, same thing. So get in contact on Google, look up flash cash, one-day funding, transactional funding. Talk to a couple of those individuals and say, here's what I do. I'm a wholesaler. The title company here won't double close, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to sell it first, and then I just need the you just need the 24-hour. It's really same day funding. Okay. The wire's going to come in and then go out. So yep, easy solution.
Hey, Mike, okay. I want to get back to
finish up that question. Olivia. Yep.
Yeah.
For sure.
So how I'm not sure if that's a good deal as a buy and hold.
If that's a good deal as a buy and hold, what are you selling it for?
Selling it for 15.
Okay, how much work?
Pardon?
How much work does it need?
It needs 15.
Okay, so I'm all in at 30. What can I rent it for?
You can rent it for 500.
500 tops, huh?
Well, it was rented that much 2 years ago.
Okay, So we would want to check Zopi.com, or some of you may have Rentometer.
Okay.
Get some rents in the area. Rule of thumb, rent times 70%. So 500 a month times 0.7, 350 net. Right?
No.
30,000 divided by 350 bucks a month, 85 months divided by 12, 7.14 years return of cash. Anybody interested in getting their money back in just over 7 years? What do you think?
Can you run those numbers really quickly again, Mike? Sorry.
Yep. Gross rents times 70%. We're going to ballpark it because you've got vacancy, maybe property management, repairs, yada, yada.
Yep.
So okay. She said 500 times 0.7, 350 bucks a month net. And then let's assume I'm the buyer. Olivia, you just do this. You assume you're the buyer. Buy it for 15, uh-huh. Put 15 in. So you're out of pocket today and you buy it for 30 grand. And you're going to net 350 a month to get it back in 7 years. Anybody have an opinion on whether 7 years is decent, terrible, good?
Average.
Return of cash. It's strong.
Is it? Mike,
Rob likes to be
five to seven. Yeah.
Rob likes to be 5 to 6.
Okay.
On a buy and hold, but seven's in the ballpark. I mean, people
okay.
are, you run the numbers, people are buying deals in Denver, they're not going to get paid back, you know, till the world ends, which is nuts. But that's not a bad little deal.
I had to get a little more.
Yep.
Yeah.
And
then
500
mm-hmm.
was 2 years ago.
Yeah,
there's
that's
a decent chance that number is stronger.
Okay.
Which
so
means.
So it was Zope.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
Go ahead.
Zopi Rent, and what was the other?
Rentometer is a little paid site that's fairly accurate. Or this is where
okay.
you rely on a local agent because they can pull rental data out of the MLS.
Okay.
So you've got a quick agent on the team, and you shoot them an email and say, you know, hey, can you look this address up for me? What do you think it rents for? It looks like 500 2 years ago. So.
Okay.
Hey, guys, if there's some noise in the back, hit *6 and tell you an update. That would help. Thanks. Yeah, Olivia, I like those numbers, especially with your 500 2 years ago rent estimate.
Well, see, that's it, and I don't trust Zillow.
Right.
Theirs is 850 or something, but that's just too much of a discrepancy. But I think the bottom line is, and I appreciate your help, is that everything I've been seeing is actually a buy and hold, and I need to go back and rework them.
We are primarily in buy and hold markets. We go in and
yeah.
do the research,
okay.
and the P ratios are strong, and then we
yeah.
research how many are listed below 100,000. Now,
mm-hmm.
there's going to be some fix and flip activity. You know, Naif's in the middle of one now. Gary bought one in Florida. That's going to happen, but we're playing the low-hanging fruit game here.
Mm-hmm.
How do we get into a new city, get in the middle of deals, and get paid as quickly as possible? We're going after the cheap ones, and the cheap ones are primarily mm-hmm. rentals. Rule
okay.
of thumb.
Good.
Yep.
Perfect. Thank you.
Awesome job, Olivia. Keep us posted on those. I know you've got some offers out there. So who else?
Yeah.
It is
who
Mark.
Else? Who else? Hey, Mark.
Hey. So when I sent all my stuff to my VA, and
uh-huh.
just like the other guy was saying that, you know, my bird dog has an Android phone, she didn't put all the stuff into my campaign, you know, beds, baths, and all that. So I had to send it back to her so I can get that. So I know what I'm talking about. But I'm ready to make phone calls, so that's
okay.
where I'm at. And
how many numbers do you have to call?
She has like 40, close to 40.
Okay.
Okay, so I've got almost 300 leads. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, so the one thing that we're finding is that some, you know, the LLCs, they're hard to find numbers for.
Yep.
But then there's also some that it looks like the county may own them or banks may own them. Do we want to try to call those?
You know, if you can find a contact number fairly quickly, sure.
Okay.
The thing about it is a bank could be motivated. They could not. So I would say move it to the bottom of the list, and if you have time, call them. If you've
okay.
got private sellers to talk to, go there first.
All right.
Yep. Go to the non-professionals first, if that
okay.
makes any sense. I mean, banks are in the
yeah.
business of it. So, like I said, motivation could be there, could not. You know, one property on the books for, you know, somebody that just had a family member pass away and it's been sitting vacant, big problem. One property on the books for, you know, a vacant property on the books for a bank, most likely not priority. Could be, but again, you know, play the percentages here. So go to the private sellers first.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. And then I talked to one buyer.
Okay.
And you know, it's like one of the zip codes that I have the majority of my leads in. He'll do just part of that zip code, which, you know, that's fine. So, yeah.
People have their preferences. There was a guy, he's a friend of mine in town here. He flipped a house, and it went bad, and he won't ever buy another house on that street name again. So
yeah,
he doesn't care how good the deal looks. Just who knows?
Right.
Could be a bad experience. Could be a whatever. Stereotype, misconception. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Luckily, there are a million other buyers out there, so don't sweat it.
Right.
Yep. All right, Mark. We'll get on those phones, and we'll look for a good update on Thursday.
Okay.
Good stuff. Who else? Steps 3, 4, and 5.
Chad here, Mike.
Chad, what's happening?
Not much. Not much. We're doing pretty well. Between me and Steph collectively, we have close to 450 leads, about 30 skip traced, and 60 more in the process of being skip traced.
Okay.
So we're doing well on that front. But I just wanted to touch base with you about the email I sent over the weekend. I'm not sure if you got it or not, about that that hot lead I had.
If I didn't reply to it, I didn't get it, no.
Okay.
And I don't.
Yeah, we had briefly talked about a rehab guy who was in the middle of a project, and the bird dog. Well, yeah. So
yep.
I had done some the process of doing the rehab estimate and the deal analysis. I did three different versions of a fix and flip, and the buy and hold, and.
Yep.
So I just wanted to, if you didn't get it, then you don't know what those numbers are, and I don't have it in front of me at the moment.
I don't even see it in here, boss. So.
Okay. Yeah.
Because I remember asking you about it. We were we had a conversation Friday, so.
Right. Yeah, the first time I tried to email it through FreedomSoft, you said that it came through as code, not as readable information. So I went to do that again on Saturday, and I guess you didn't get it at all. So I guess we got to figure that one out there.
Yeah, we'll figure that out outside of here because I told you I logged into your FreedomSoft account, emailed the coaching center, and it came through fine. So
we'll get to
the bottom of that. Yeah, do me a favor. Just download those attachments to your computer and then send it into the coaching center from your personal email and just attach them.
Okay, sounds good.
Yep. You want to spell out real quick. What can you get the property for? How much? Do you think?
Well, let me just give you a general consensus of the numbers that I gathered. So I did the comps, and the comps are around 30,000 retail. Based on the guy's information, what he told me about the condition, it needs about 15 to 20 in renovation. He came out of the gate in a very brief conversation asking for $10,000, which obviously wouldn't work. So I ran a couple different analyses, one at $10,000, one at $4,000, and then one at $2,000.
What is it rent for? Because this isn't a flip.
About $9,000 to $9,500.
$9,000 to $9,500?
Yeah.
Okay, so this guy wants $10,000. Let's say you mark it up $5,000, potentially sell it to me for $15,000, and then it needs 15 to 20 in work?
Right.
Okay, so I can buy it. I'm all in for 35.
I would never lock it in at 10. He just came out of the gate in a brief conversation with that number, and I wanted to do a little homework on it. Okay.
I mean, real quick, off the top of my head, this is what I just ran with Olivia. So I can be all – I'm your buyer, potentially. I can be all in for this thing for $35,000, potentially, and you said it rents for $9,000 to $9,500?
If that's
accurate.
I have to look a little bit more into that, but that was the general ballpark that I came up with initially.
Okay, so if I take 70% of 900, that's $630 a month net, right? Or again, I'm running this real quick math. gross rent times 70%. That's your net rent number. And I can be all into this thing for 35 grand divided by 630 bucks, 55 months, 55.5 months divided by 12. I get my money back in 4.6 years. If those numbers are accurate, that's a smoking
round. Hey, Mike, I can speak to that because we ran those numbers together. The rent on that was kind of all over the place.
Okay.
The neighborhood is really particular on the blocks. And it was anywhere from like $750 to $1,000. So it was a little bit hard
to
determine.
Because nine's in between. So even if that thing rents for $800 or $850, you still are recovering money inside of 7 years to a landlord.
Cool.
So I like those numbers.
Okay, cool.
Somebody on this call may buy that from you.
All right. Let's hear the takers then.
What is the property? How big and how many beds and baths?
It's a 3-1 and just over 1,000 square feet. It's like 1034.
Oh.
Yeah.
What city?
There's probably room to put another either three-quarter or half bath in there too.
What city is that?
Sure.
What city?
Philadelphia.
Philly. Plus, you can get a good sandwich when you go visit your rental. Chad, I like those numbers, man.
That's important.
This is how you're going to sell it. You're going to paint the picture. Look, here's the deal. You can buy it from me for 15 grand. You're going to put 20 into it. You're going to be at right about 100% ARV. But check this out. Here's what this neighborhood rents for. People are particular here. Rents are high. Whatever, blah, blah, blah. Here's the thing. $15,000 buy, $20,000, you're all in at $35,000. Your net rent, you know, I'm taking gross times 70% for all your expenses, Mr. and Mrs.
Mm-hmm.
Landlord. Net rents are these. You're all in money divided by your net rents divided by 12. Bam, you get your money back in X number of years.
Okay.
That works for you, right?
Awesome,
That's the process you're going to go through when you're on the phone with a buyer.
And just one more additional piece of information.
Yep.
He's a rehabber that bought this property in January for $1,600, and he ran out of funds to finish the renovation. So he's super motivated to get rid of it. I don't know where he's coming from with the $10,000, but if he paid $1,600 and did nothing with it as far as renovation, I'm pretty sure we can get it lower than $10,000 for sure.
You said it's completely gutted, so he at least has demo in it, I'm guessing. And depending on the size of the project, he could have, you know, 8, 9, 10 roll-offs into this thing with some labor.
Right.
Hard to say. But, yeah, it sounds like you may be able to get it cheaper than 10. So.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, man, just frame that thing like what we just went through.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right, I'll run some more numbers, get a little more clear on that, and keep you posted. We'll keep you posted for sure.
Sounds good. Good job, you guys. Who else? Steps 3, 4, and 5.
Paul Martin here.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, Mike. I just rolling along here. Things are going pretty smoothly, I'd say. I'm at the point where I've got one bird dog out there now, and she's turned in some stuff, and she said she got sick over the weekend. I probably had 3 dozen replies to my Craigslist ad looking to help out. I replied, I see you right away. Didn't want to get too many, and then wouldn't hear back from most of them.
Yep.
Wrote back to 6 more, not hearing from many of them. Somebody would reply, and I wouldn't hear anything. And I am offering, I'll give you 25.
How many leads do you have in the door?
22.
How many leads in the door?
I don't know what that means.
How many has your one bird dog brought in?
She brought in, she submitted 11, but 6 of them were original. She said she had issues.
Okay, so she's just getting started.
She's just getting started.
So
moving along here. So, again, I had like 3 dozen. So now, and I wasn't hearing from people. So now I'm only replying via text to the people who gave me a phone number. And now I'm like just literally in the last hour or two, even as this phone call is going on, I'm hearing back from people because I'm texting them directly. They're getting back to me right away. And I'm picking up some traction for people getting out and getting, getting this done for me.
Nice.
So I'm learning a little bit about how to, respond to what Craigslist responders I'm getting. And again, that has just happened. So I'm getting somewhere with that. I did find, put my ad up for a VA. I've got 3 people there that are interested in helping me out, but until I get these, 25-ish leads, to give them to Skip Trace. Rob was telling me, you know, give one person 25, give another person 25, and then see how they perform against each other. And then
you can even give them the same 25 if you want.
Right, right, right. Because
then you can compare apples to apples. So, yep.
Yep. So that's, I guess, I'm
cool.
saying that's where I'm at right now.
Yeah. So you've got obviously, you've heard the stories on here. If you haven't, I'll tell you again. But you can go from 11 leads to 300 in a couple days. So, if anybody else is kind of, you know, I don't want to say stuck, but if your lead numbers aren't where they're at, keep pushing on the bird dogs, because it really takes one or two people, and that number can climb drastically.
All right, let me tell you what I've done.
A really short amount of time. So
I've carved up my map of Jacksonville, where I see, you know, where Batch Geo has told me where most of the stuff's going on.
Yep.
Into three sections, and then I'm sending a map to different people. And
yep.
My theory is I'll get three different people to work three different areas.
Yep, or if you have one that's hungry, knock it out.
Enough
you just,
yeah, right.
Yeah, whatever you plan, you know, may or may not, you know, take place. So just be ready for, everybody on here is intelligent. If you have to switch up from what you originally thought, then that's fine. You know, you just adjust on the fly.
Right. So if I get one person that just nails that map, I just give them the other two maps and say, go
yeah,
for it.
Yeah. If the other two are dragging their feet, just tell them to get out of the way. You're bringing the A team.
All right.
So, yep.
All right.
Good stuff.
All right. Well, that's all I'm at. I'll get back to you once I get all those.
Good stuff.
Names,
yeah, that sounds good. Hey, get that. I brought up that VA thing. You know, those lead numbers can go up quick. So if you have, if you have some VAs back, I know you feel like you're a little preliminary, but you're going to want that person on standby ready to go as soon as that lead number gets, like I said, it can go to 50, 75, 200 pretty quick. So good stuff. Who else? 3, 4, and 5 steps.
Hey, Mike, this is Tom.
Hey, Tom.
So I'm kind of stuck. I've had a couple of things happen. I got to work in the weekend, so that kind of puts everything on hold. I have a bunch of leads. I haven't made any calls yet.
Okay.
That's gonna start tomorrow. I don't have
cool.
enough leads yet, but I got a lot, but I need to get more from my own sources, because I got some from Brian, as you recall. So that's where I'm at.
Okay. How many have you come in? How many have come in under your own bird dogs?
About 58.
58. Okay. And how many have skip traced?
I have two. I got all those skip traced.
Okay. So you've got
nice.
So you have the day off tomorrow?
Yeah.
Cool.
And I have a couple other people that. It's funny. I put one ad into Craigslist, a week and a half ago now, and I still get calls saying, "Hey, I can take pictures for you." So there's one guy that's very persistent. So I think I'm going to see what he can do for me.
Absolutely.
He just he's very persistent. So I was like, all right, man, let me see what you can do. He may be helpful. I also asked him if he would be the kind of guy who wouldn't mind going out and checking things and taking photos if I get something under contract, and he seemed like he'd be really willing to do that. So he may be a good resource for that.
You mean when you get something under contract?
Yeah. Did I say if? I meant
you
when.
Did. That's okay. I'm just correcting it.
Yeah.
The
I'm still
words
having a little hard time believing this is going to work for me, man.
That's okay. We're all here to believe in you until you believe in yourself. So we got you covered.
Okay.
We got you
hey,
covered.
Have a quick.
Amen.
I get it. It's,
Mike,
it's
I got a
you
quick
know,
quick
it's common.
Question related
yeah.
to the
yeah.
bird dogs.
Yep.
So are these guys out there, is there anything that prevent them in our process from sending me 100 leads and then sending somebody else the same 100 leads and getting paid over and over and over for the same leads that they've sent out?
Anybody
worried
is there any
about that
preventing,
or does it not matter?
Yeah, well, that's why, like you heard Tom said, he took he took the cheapest 100 and or was that Paul? You know, Paul did that with Jacksonville, Florida, and he put them into Batch Geo, and then it identified three distinct pockets. He said some cities will look more like a shotgun blast and others will have distinct pockets of activity. And so,
sure.
yeah, you want to say, hey, you know, Sally Bird Dog, I need you to drive this part of town and break it up geographically and know who's going where. so you don't have overlap. That's really on you to steer them.
Right.
If you have one person that just shines and everybody else, I mean, some people in here just have one bird dog.
What I mean is, like, I hire a bird dog and they're working for me, but they're also working for someone in Kansas City. They're working for someone that lives in California. They're sending the same leads to 5-6 different investors. So they're making $3 times 5 instead of just selling that lead to one person, right?
Yeah, there could be some overlap. It's probably it would be rare.
Okay.
Because the bird dog is just gonna be somebody local that lives there. They're gonna be working that market. Could two of you potentially find them? Maybe. But just thousands and thousands of people coming through Craigslist.
He doesn't have to drive the neighborhood twice. He just drives it once and then sells the lead 3 times.
Right.
It's happening in Pittsburgh.
It's happening in Pittsburgh?
Figured. Yeah.
So when you're talking to people on Craigslist, you know, make sure that they've never done it before. Potentially. I think it'll be rare.
But why does it matter?
Well,
because I'm buying
like
a lead that's diluted.
Well,
the
power is going to be in a skip tracing. So the lead itself is without a skip tracing. There's not much value there. So if you got a good skip tracing service, you'll still get the lead.
Yeah, Lewis brings up a good point. It really is. I mean, to go grab an address, yeah, but it really is the next step that kind of brings it all together.
Okay.
But, you know, even some of the paid services out there, you know, there's nothing better than eyeballs on the ground shooting an image of a boarded up house. Nothing beats that. But there's going to be some overlap in those other ones too. But, you know, again, it's in the research. It's in the hustle. It's in the persistence. You know, that's what's going to win out. So there'd be a little overlap, but I wouldn't sweat it. It's potentially there.
Mike, this is Maif.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a quick question. When you're doing comps on properties, you know, one of them is like, let's say the property I have is around 1700 and all the properties around it is less than 1500. I'm in the ballpark of 1200. So, and there are two of them that are around the size of 1700, which are two of them around 1870 and 1884. How do you then figure out, you know, what the price range should be like?
Price per square foot for the area. So if you've got, you know, a bunch of houses at X that you can evaluate, take the, you know, the value divided by the size, and that'll give you price per square foot, and then take that price per square foot times your square footage, that'll get you ballpark.
Okay. All right.
Yep. You just break it down into a common number, which is price per square foot. Yep. Good question.
Awesome. Thanks.
Tom, anything else? Tom, still there?
You talking to me?
No. Yeah.
No,
yeah, we had a couple questions coming. You're good? Okay. So phones tomorrow. Yeah. So there'll be a good update on Thursday.
You betcha.
And before you make that first call, you say, doggone it, Mike believes in me. I want to make this happen. Got it?
Got it, man.
And everybody else on here. We got each other's backs around here. So, honest,
exactly.
I'm not joking. All joking aside. Yeah. But, you know, it's that's why we do these calls like this, because you get to hear, you know, everybody gets to hear the challenges, the wins, the successes, the, you know, just a part of the struggle, but also the fact that if you persist, obviously it works. So that's part of it. It starts to build your belief over time.
I've climbed peaks in the Himalayas solo over several days, hanging off the side of cliffs on ice, and it scares me more than that. I don't get it.
Yeah, isn't that, well, everybody has a comfort zone, right? Yours is hanging 1,500 feet on a rope. That's way outside of my comfort zone. So that's the thing. At first, that wasn't comfortable, though. It just is now. But think back of the first time that the anticipation when that was still new to you, because there's no way you climbed your first mountain and were totally comfortable with it. So now you just have, you know, decades of experience doing that, and this is new. So all you have to do is get through, like, the first three dials, and this just starts to become second nature as well. So That's it. It's just all have things that are comfortable, and we have things that are uncomfortable. So that's just the way it is. We, you know, we all fall into that same. So, yep. Lewis, you want to chime in?
Sure. I have one deal on the contract that's scheduled to close, I think, next Monday. And then we have two
date?
More on the contract.
A week from today? A week from today, 17?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
We had some issues with the title that was still clearing up, right? But right now it looks like it's on track for Monday.
Gotcha. Cool.
And then we have two more under contract. One of them was a seller financing deal, and we're still struggling with getting that sold. I don't think the buyers in Oklahoma City for some reason are that excited about seller financing deals. This was what I'm from the conversations we're having. So I'm not sure what we're going to do with that one because the contract's going to end soon.
Okay.
And then
Can
we
you
have
get it extended?
Another one. What's that?
Can you get it extended, or what's
that.
The solution there?
Well, that's what we're trying to figure out. We're going to try to get it extended, but, you know, so what we're trying to figure out is, because people I've talked to about the self-financing in Oklahoma City, they're just like, well, I'll just buy it cash. But if you buy it cash, the numbers don't work out the way it's structured.
Right.
And so that's where we're kind of trying to figure out what the next steps.
Okay.
What did
you
that
send over the numbers on that one into the coaching center?
Yeah,
so I can see it laid out.
Yeah, definitely.
Let's take a look at it. Okay.
Yeah, I think it makes sense for myself. Well, that's the first seller financing deal that we're trying, and we just want to just test it to see how it's working. A lot of some of the early feedback we got from the folks we talked to is just, you know, in that market, people just would rather buy cash. You know, like I can buy like a house for $7,000 cash. Like, why would I do this whole seller financing thing? And so we're just going to play with Tom a little bit. The other one that we have on the contract, that one we're getting some interest. The challenge in that one is it's inside is all studs. So the person who started the rehab and just ran out of money. So we got one buyer who's really interested, and we're hoping to. I think he's having an inspector look at it tomorrow, and he was looking to make an offer. But the challenge with that one is a lot of newbie investors are scared off by it.
Turn that into a bonus. Say, listen, here's the thing. This is down to studs. Have you done a flip before? And they're going to answer. You have done tons of no, I haven't. Okay, perfect. Here's one of the things, right? If they're newer, here's one of the things that happen is you buy a flip, and, you know, the electrical panel can look fine. The lights, you know, the lights all turn on and off, that kind of thing. The stove fires up. But you don't know exactly what's going on behind the walls because you can't see it. So a lot of times you'll get into it, and now it's yours, and you realize, you know, as you start to make some updates that, hey, we have a problem here. Whereas when the house is down to studs, it's all visible. So there is no hidden mold because we can see the whole house. There is no hidden electrical problems because you can see the whole thing. So does it add an extra couple steps? Absolutely. But in the long run, this is still a good price, bam, bam, bam. So take whatever you think the negative is or whatever and just get it up front and turn it into a benefit and tell the story.
Okay. That's a good point. Yeah, because, that's because what we're getting. Like investors would walk by and they're like, I don't want to touch that. Like, that it's going to be way too much work.
Those are the ones you have to tell the story to because those are the ones watching HGTV.
Yeah.
And they're thinking, that's not what they look like on TV. So that one's not going to work. So just educate them. You may get a buyer or get it to somebody that's experienced because any rehabber will walk in and they automatically know that. Great, there are no surprises on this house. I know what I'm getting.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
for
the numbers
cost of some drywall. Yep.
Because we got it on a contract for 35, we listed at 45, and the ARV on it is like 130.
Yeah. What do you think it needs? 50?
I don't even think it needs that much, honestly.
Really?
Because you started to rehab. The only thing I'm unclear. I think if somebody wants to do the roof, they can, but I don't think it's required. I mean, they can get it done for like 35. I put it through the Freedom Soft, and I think they came out to like 140.
Yeah, so you'd probably want to add, 10-20% to that maybe, just put a contingency in there because it's got, typical drywall, you're going to have to do some extras, but still.
Yeah,
those numbers are still solid, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, but I think, so like that, we did find one buyer that immediately got it. Like, he walked in the house, right. Like, yeah, I get it. And so tomorrow he's coming in with a contractor just to, you know, give it a walkthrough. And if everything checks out, he's gonna make his offer on it.
Yeah, those numbers are solid. So yeah. That's moving in a good direction. Love it. Good stuff, man.
Yeah, get some traction
on Monday. Yeah, absolutely. There you go. Who else is on 3, 4, and 5? And then let's
Mike.
You know,
this is Esther.
Yeah. Hey, Esther.
Mike, this is Esther. Hi.
Hi.
I am working on some bird dogs, and I've got like 6 of them that are just ready to jump. And
love
I did not have access to FreedomSoft, and I just got my email that says I can log into FreedomSoft. I looked it up, but what comes up is it says buy this domain. Where should I be going?
Buy this my.freedomsoft.com and then log in there.
Yeah,
and I sent you the website.
Yeah, I did, and I pulled it up, but this is all that comes up. Buy this domain. It says myfreedomsoft.com, and then it says search ads, and it's got a list of all this stuff that I can get into, but I can't get in. I can't log in.
Use a different browser. Got to be on your end because I know your account's active. I checked for you, and then I logged into it just to make sure. Just to double-check it before I sent that to you. So try a different browser and then shoot an email into me. You can just reply to the one I sent you.
Okay.
And let me know what you find out. We'll get you in there.
Okay, great. Yeah, because
yep.
I've got a bunch of, six bird dogs that are just ready to go.
I love it.
And
make sure
I've
you give them different parts of town.
I've given them a map of the area that I wanted to work on, and they're ready to go.
Fantastic. One or two of those will rise to the top, and then you don't
I've
have to call back the
done.
Other four, and then they'll take out the whole city for you. That'll be perfect.
Right. Well, I've got a gal that I already talked to, and I hadn't even sent her the information yet, but she's already downloaded HomeSnap and she suggested that maybe instead of using PayPal, use the Cash App. Do you know anything about that?
I don't. Yeah,
and
we just always do it for PayPal.
Called,
there are multiple.
Called.
Yeah there are multiple out
app
there.
Called Venmo, and they don't have to pay anything. They don't have to. They don't get charged anything to cash in.
Well, you'll pay for the little transaction fee when you pay them through PayPal.
Oh.
But yeah, there are multiple out there. If you're about to send money, they're probably all legit. I'm not very familiar with them. PayPal is still kind of the, you know, that became the verb. Hey, can you PayPal me? You know, it's kind of like the Kleenex of the industry. So they've been around for a while. Here's the thing though. You're cutting the check, Esther. So you dictate how they're going to be paid. So if you want to look into it, that's up to you. I would just tell them I use PayPal. If you don't have it, set up an account quick. That's what I'm accustomed to doing.
I've heard some scams associated with Venmo.
Good intel. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
Okay. Well, thanks for that. That tip.
Yep.
Okay. Very good. Okay, I'll try
Sounds
this other thing on FreedomSoft. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank
test
you.
It in a different browser, and then let me know. We'll get you in there, though.
Okay. Great.
All right. Yep. Who else? Let's just go. Any questions? Updates? Any steps? Anything else? Good conversation tonight. A lot of stuff happening, too.
Hey, Mike.
What's happening, Marky?
Hey. Somebody just said, hey, Mike, and then John. Who said, hey, Mike?
I did.
Who's that?
Hey, it's Darren.
Hey, Darren.
How
and
are
John.
You?
Yep. I'm good, man.
Good, good. I'm just trying to keep my head above water here. It's been 14-hour days, but I was able to get my cities picked out, and I'm going to try to stay up late tonight and do some more homework and possibly look at step 2 here. So.
Okay. Hey, and I want you to focus more on step 3 and then fill in some step 2 when you have a little downtime moving forward.
Gotcha.
Step 2 is evaluating deals, so you'll pick up a few tips in there, but I want you to go right to step 3.
What's step 3?
Step 3 is where you start finding a bird dog and generating leads, 250 vacants.
Oh, okay. I gotcha.
Yep.
And what do I do with – I did a mailing right before I came out to Denver, and I've got about 40 leads from people that called me, and I've got about four or five that are super motivated, and they're kind of just hanging out waiting for me to submit an offer, but I don't feel like I'm ready to do that yet. So I sent an email, and Rob said, yeah, send us back the deal information. I just haven't had time to put any of it together. So
okay. Yeah, let us know on that as soon as you can send it over. Yeah, good problem to have, though.
Yeah.
You know, because that was already in place before you came out, let's have a let's just have a conversation. You know, we don't want to detour the steps, but I may just add in a future one here a little earlier than normal. So,
yeah, if we can have a call and just talk about some of the deals, I feel like if I could just make some offers, I might be able to make some money real quick. And
I
then
think so.
Not give up on the process, but just for a minute, you know?
Yeah, like a short little detour because it was already in play.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
So I'm available anytime. If you guys want to set something up, that would be great.
Yeah, we'll just set it up by email. So just make sure all those numbers are ready, and then do this. Email me a couple times that work for you tomorrow, and then I'll confirm one of them. Okay?
Okay. All right. Sounds
perfect.
Good. Thanks.
Yep. Good
hey,
stuff.
Mike, real quick question.
Yeah.
With the Bird Dogs looking for vacant properties, since they're already going to be out there, why wouldn't you expand it from vacant properties to just anything with a lot of deferred maintenance?
Yeah, you could. There, you know, in these markets we're picking, there are a lot of vacants. So if it comes to that, you could. But, you know, that's what they're looking for anyway, boarded up, signs of distress, signs of vacancy, overgrown weeds.
Okay.
That kind of stuff. Yep. Anything that looks boarded up, which could fall into your, you know, maintenance category. Yep.
Okay. Got it.
You got it. John Gillen.
What up? What up?
You tell us, man.
Yeah. Well, my newbie guy that's eager to learn is, I think, showing me he's not real eager.
Amazing, huh?
Yeah, because
your actions speak so loud, I can't hear what you're saying.
Yeah, he said he logged in, hadn't looked the video, watched the videos, and then he's telling me Saturday he's going to watch them that night, and he's had access for like almost 2 weeks. And, and I told him, I said, man, I need you ready to start making these calls now. And I called him today and texted him, and I haven't heard diddly squat, as we say here.
Yep.
So
yeah, I've heard that.
These closings can't come soon enough, man, because I just need to find me a VA.
Yep.
Because that's really, I think I need to work towards that, to be honest with you. Because I've got this one lead on this vacant that I told y'all about last week. And it's only, the numbers only work for really one buyer who's a very, very strong buyer. And this guy has already bought two properties on this street.
Okay.
And I sent him by there today.
How
can
they only work
for
one buyer?
Because of the numbers. It's not a fix and flip area. It's a rental area. But this guy overdoes all his properties. And it's a 4-2 split level. And he bought a house just like this, just down the street, and added a fifth bedroom and rented it for $10.50.
Okay.
And he paid quite a bit of money for it, you know, all in. So, so he can do the same thing with this house, but it doesn't work for my other buyers. I'm getting it at 35, and my offer for my other buyers is going to be about 35 because it needs 20 to 25 in rehab.
John, go to you have a good property manager there in town?
Well, that's the other. I don't know about good, but the property manager.
Well, here's
took,
what I'm going.
Took her
at.
Lock. Took her get, lockbox. I know where you're getting at. Yeah.
Well, get some get some surrounding city buyers to look at those deals. I mean, either in state or surrounding states. But I was saying, if you know a good property manager in town, you can solve that for them anyway. But you could use the same stuff and go to those other buyers and say, hey, I'm a wholesaler from so and so. I've got one in Birmingham. I see you buy over there. Have you considered here? Check out the numbers on this thing. And you're one state away. And I've got a great property management company already in town. That's the win-win-win. I sell you
well,
the deal.
You
know,
some of my buyers have property management companies. That's what they do because they do turnkey properties. So
you already have that piece solved. So, you know, a number of times on here you've said, you know, it seemed like you had a deal with pretty solid numbers, but you were, you know, you said, I don't know if a buyer here will take it or only one buyer here will take it or yada, yada, yada. There's got to be, I mean, you've thrown some good numbers on the table with some of these deals. What about bringing in money from elsewhere? Throwing it out there.
Well, I mean, I need to go through these guys to see if they know anybody.
That
happens sometimes. That's happened on a couple of deals. But I think this guy is going to take it, is what I'm getting at. And okay. He went to the house, and the property manager that had this house rented before it got the fire damage, she came and got her lockbox and the key, and the guy couldn't get in. So, anyway, I'm supposed to get the key from her so he can get back in. I presented it to him at a $13,000 spread, and I think that was high enough to where I can work with him and still make some decent money on it, what I'm getting
Perfect.
At. So, it's still not dead.
That's
and
right.
Then I've got finally got contracts back on a small joint venture deal that's supposed to close Friday afternoon. And the other, that's a $3,200 spread, and I've got one for $12,500 that's supposed to close next Monday.
A week from today or 2 weeks from today?
A week from today.
Nice.
So it had some title issues, but we got that worked out today. We're good to go on title on that. So, and the tenants are already cleared out, so we can take possession when we close, or my buyer can. And
yep, love it.
And I've got all kinds of irons in the fire. Otherwise, I just need to get somebody
man.
To help me with my vacancy.
Stay on the gas. That's the thing is, this whoever you were dealing with, they're out of the picture. No more wasted time chasing them down.
Yeah, he's
You want the person that's bugging you for how to get started.
Right. I want like that bird dog's calling that girl.
Yep, you got it.
Yeah.
You got it.
All right, man. So,
all right, Captain. Good stuff.
Yes,
sir. One Friday and one Monday. That'll make for a fun weekend.
Man, you know, we're going to Outback, man. What you talking about?
That's right. I love it. Good stuff.
Yeah.
All right, who else? Any other questions, updates?
Yes, Rob, this is Esther once again.
Hi, Esther.
Where do I go to find the replays?
For office hours here?
Well, for, you know, like our conversations, our meetings on Mondays and Thursdays, where do I go?
Yep. You're going to go into the coaching center, and they'll be uploaded this week. So go to log into the coaching center, therealamericanwealth.com, that you have access to. And on the left-hand side, before, above the steps, on the left side of the page, it says office hours.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be put onto that page here over the next couple days.
Oh, so they're not up yet?
They're not. We made a couple changes online to the website, and so now we're ready for them. So our tech crew will be uploading them, like I said, over the next couple days, so this week.
Okay, great.
Yep,
Thank you.
Yep, and then somebody else chimed in there too.
Yeah, this is Andrew.
Hey, Andrew.
Hey, so real quick, Mike. I've got a little bit of homework to do tonight. So my telemarketer sent me a lead for a person that was interested in selling their house.
Yep.
And I had a very short, brief discussion with them a little bit earlier today on my lunch break. Turns out that she has 7 other properties as well that she's interested in selling. So, she gave me the addresses for those. So I'll need to do some digging around to figure out, you know, what I can offer and what makes sense. The thing that I'll probably be reaching out to you guys for is a little bit of your opinion, feedback, guidance on how you put together package deals and what makes sense. I don't know if that's the direction I'm going to go or not. It's just that, you know, I don't know how these things kind of normally work out when you got more properties
Our initial answer, keep things simple, one contract, one property.
Okay.
So, I mean, to put 7 contracts together is not a huge deal. If it's 150, totally different story. But something like this, one off them. You may sell them to all to the same buyer, which is fine. But yeah, 1-to-1. That's my initial feedback. So,
take them one at a time.
You got it.
Don't try to put them together and lump sum them into. Okay, gotcha.
Yep. That could change. Keep us in the loop on what you find out with all 7. But yeah, initially go into it thinking that you're just evaluating seven separate deals.
Cool. Got it.
Yep.
Yep, that makes sense.
Yep. So that's good stuff.
Yeah, so pretty promising. There, I sensed a little bit of motivation there, or a
yeah.
fair amount of motivation, rather,
yep.
because that's, she was saying that she's entertaining lease options, owner financing, anything else we can put together to make the deal work. So
she just wants them gone.
She wants them gone, yeah. So
cool.
That's always music to my ears. So we'll see how
that
turns
right.
out.
And you're the problem solver.
So there you go. Got
yep.
my hard hat on. Going to work.
That's right.
So.
Your Superman yep. cape. Step in to save the day. Cool, man.
But that's it. Everything else is
cool.
moving on along, humming smoothly. So.
Love it. Love it. Love it. All right, everyone.
Mike, this
Who
is
else?
Josh.
Hey, Josh.
I got the I got a girl making calls for us now.
Yep.
And kind of. Started training her on Friday, having her call the old list like I was telling you. And
yep.
Today I had her dive into some more, and she actually found someone in there who I'm going to call in the morning and make an offer to. So
love it.
She did really good. She's following the script to a T.
Awesome.
And you know to kind of talk a little bit about what John was talking about. I mean. We went through another girl before prior to this, and then we had I had probably 8 to 10 people hit me up about this job I posted with on Facebook, and then I mean 3 or 4 of them say, okay, what do I got to do to start? I say, call me tomorrow at this time, and they wouldn't even call back.
Right.
So I mean, it's just a common thing for people to say, "Oh, I need a job. I need to work. I need to do this," and then they just don't do anything.
Right. Right.
So I guess it's more common today than it ever has been. But this girl's panning out pretty well. You know, I like the way she sounds on the phone, and we're able to record her. So I'm listening to every conversation she's having,
yep.
and coaching her along like that. I mean,
nice.
You have any other advice as to how to anything about
Man, that?
Trying to get her.
No, that's killer. Yeah, great job jumping
yeah.
on the recordings, because now with, you know, that interaction, first of all, she'll appreciate it. She'll get more effective. The more effective she gets, you know, the more fun she'll start having.
Yes.
You know, people want to be effective.
Right, right,
so that's
right.
huge. Yeah. And then you get, you know, you get to really kind of mold this person that's on the phone that's bringing, you know, bringing leads your way. So that's something all the way across. Good stuff.
What do you think? I mean, I just told her we pay her $9 an hour to start during the training and all, but I mean, what do you think pay-wise? And I know you said you can't pay on closing, but
yeah.
I mean, if I'm just paying her, I mean, I like for her to, you know, be able to say, hey, you know, good job this month. Here's a bonus.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Can you do that?
Good question. So you could do a Yeah, I tell you what, track the number of leads that come over, and
uh-huh.
you could do a bonus based on the number of leads. Now, you could, you know, I mean, you could grab that number and say, hey, we want to pay her X amount, and this many leads came in, and it led to however many closings, but tie it, as long as you have the paper trail that says, you know, she's your front line, leads are coming in, she's on the phone, but then she's hand-delivering the promising ones to you, and then just pay her lead-based.
Uh-huh.
And as
okay.
long as you have that tracked, and say, this
okay.
is our system, this is our process, here's how we're paying her.
Right, right,
right.
Should
be okay. Yep.
So would we still pay her by the hour and then pay her?
I think so.
Would we pay her by the lead?
Yeah. Yeah. Probably by the hour with what you just laid out. The way you have it. But then you said you wanted to bonus her. Yeah, so just tie it to the leads that are coming in, not the closings. The leads are ultimately
okay.
leaving to the closings, but you can pay a non-licensed person to generate a lead just like we're paying a bird dog to generate a lead.
Okay. Yeah.
So, yep.
Okay.
Yep.
That sounds good. Yeah, I just wanted to see if we were doing that. And these are old. These are mailings of things that we mailed, you know, some of them, you know, as far as 3 months ago. And I've got her just trying to call these people and get a hold of them. So, I mean, it's not like they just called off a postcard and it's fresh. She's just
right.
trying to drum something up. So I'm giving
awesome.
Her the complete challenge. And I also,
I was emailing you a little bit because we tried to set up our spreadsheets a little bit differently on how
okay.
we can make them go into FreedomSoft.
Yep.
And maybe we could talk sometime tomorrow about it because.
Yeah, I, you know, do this. Ahead of that, send me the spreadsheet you're trying to upload so I can – let me see it and then
okay.
explain to me what's going on. And I can probably figure it out there, but if not, we jump on the phone or something,
sure.
that's fine too. Yep.
Okay. Yeah, we'll get that sent over either this evening or first thing in the morning. And
perfect.
I heard someone else mention the Cash App. That's how I pay. We pay Bird Dogs, and it's really it's legit.
Yeah, Esther was wondering what's the service? Cash App?
Yeah, it's I can't.
Okay.
It's Cash. It's like a green app, and it says Cash on it, and
okay.
it's super easy.
Yeah,
and then when you invite someone and send like $50, I think you get. $50 or more, you get like $10 to your counter. It's super easy.
Okay.
So
good
yeah,
to know, Esther, if you're still on.
Yeah.
Josh and Quinn are using Cash Out. Yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
Another option. Cool.
Thank you.
Yeah,
like,
great update, Josh. Yeah, really cool to
right.
hear. You know, when the business starts to take place, right, and you get some of the key people in place, you know, that starts
right.
to build the business and the leverage and the, you know, let her jump on the phone, be the front line, and bring the motivated people your way. That's perfect.
Perfect.
Who else? Updates, questions?
Hey, Mike, real quick.
Yeah.
Hour,
yeah.
But from 4 to 5.
Speaking of
still going on.
Speaking of package deals, I had an abandoned sign call today, and a guy works for an outfit called Colliers International. They're really a commercial
oh.
firm.
Okay.
They're pretty big in Birmingham, Huntsville, and Atlanta.
Yep.
And he says he has a 50-pack portfolio in Birmingham that he's looking to sell for one of his clients.
Love
so,
it.
And he's trying to get information from me, and he said, well, do you buy that many? I said, usually when it's that many, you don't end up buying them all. And
right.
I said, can I cherry pick? He said, no, you can't cherry pick. I said, well, what's your minimum? He said, well, I said, I work with a consortium of investors, and, you know, we'd love to take a look at it. He said, well, who are they? What are their names? I said, well, I don't think they would like for me to give you their names right away.
Right.
Anyway,
hey guys,
so long story.
This is why you build a big buyer's list, because you come across something like that, and you just shoot an email out to everybody and says, hey, I've got a 50-pack. Who's either buying in bulk or who knows somebody that's buying in bulk? You know, and get that network to tap into whatever.
Well, my goal is if I can get that list, it's going to go to that guy who's got that $700 million.
Absolutely, it is.
You know, and
absolutely.
You know, my partner's already working for this guy, one of my buyers. He's already working for him, doing front end appraisals for him.
Right.
Yeah, he's
already
done
you got to put a little effort into that because you have a legit buyer or relationship with a legit buyer who could take all 50 and not even flinch.
Right, right.
So
I'm kind of waiting on the guy. He said he's going to email. He didn't have everything ready to market. And I said, man, you don't have to get it ready to market. Just put it on a spreadsheet, man, and send it my way.
That's
so.
Right. Say, I got a buyer that's chomping at the bit to spend some
yeah,
serious money. Get that over. Oh, that's cool.
So if I don't hear from him in a day or so, he'll be on the phone. But I thought I'd throw that out there, so.
I love it. That's the thing. There's so many stories that have come, like little side things that you can't ever, you know, predict will happen.
Just start doing and be active you know, this is from a bandit sign, a yellow sign. It says we buy houses.
Yep.
And a dude wants to sell 50 houses calls it. Who would believe it?
That's crazy. You can't make this stuff up. It's crazy.
No.
That's cool.
All right, man.
Yeah, keep us in the loop on that. That's awesome.
Yes, sir, man. Yes, sir.
Good stuff. Anybody else?
Hey, guys, right. It's Robin.
Oh, hey, Robin.
Hi. I've just been quietly listening to everybody getting all the info.
Yep. Cool. Where are things at?
Well, I've been really researching this property here, and I got a lot of info, and these people are very, very, very motivated, so I'm actually sitting here right now working on the offer, and I'm going to send it off tomorrow morning. I have to get the proper place to send it to, actually, because the owner of the house does not speak English, so I'm dealing with the son and the daughter, mostly the son. And the son, I had my bird dog go over there, took a whole bunch of pictures. He had a contractor over there. But for some ungodly reason, I can't actually get an estimate. The Lewis has been going back and forth with the contractor. He gave him a rough estimate, so I kind of know money-wise, but
yep.
I just thought it would be nice to have an actual estimate. But either way, they don't want to give it up, so he was looking for some other people. But anyway, I kind of have an idea here, and I ran three different scenarios because the contractor actually said that the house was a single-family unit, and they split it to be a duplex, but it can be easily converted back. And Lewis had gone to some meetup groups and has talked to some realtors about the area. And the single-family units sell better, but it also depends on who you're catering to. You know, I mean, an investor that wants the cash flow will want the duplex, but an actual family that wants to buy it wants it completely a single family. So.
Right. So a couple things.
For marketing, there's several different ways we can do it. It just depends on
how they
want to buy it.
When you're moving forward, let's go contract first, then all this due diligence. A little effort up front, but if this thing doesn't go through, you now have a lot of time, energy, and effort into it. So the process is offer, maybe a quick run the numbers, offer, contract, full due diligence,
right.
DC, exit strategy.
Well, you know, with Freedom Soft, it only took me a little bit of time to run these scenarios.
So you said you've got some time into evaluation. So if it hasn't been much, that's okay.
But
let's get it under contract first.
Okay.
Then you can adjust if necessary, adjust price, whatever. But now you're the you're the controlling interest with the paperwork.
Right.
In play. So yep. Good stuff. How many vacants do you have in? How many vacant leads?
Close to 400.
Love it. How many are skip traced?
120.
Okay. How many have you called?
About 50.
Okay. You've got some phone time, huh?
Yeah. A lot of, wrong numbers and no speak English and yada.
That's all right.
I'm working it.
Yep. Stay on it.
I'm trying.
A lot of there are deals in there for sure. For sure. Yeah, good update. Keep us posted on this one on Thursday. Let's see how this deal comes together. Hopefully you'll have one under contract.
Okay, I hope so.
Yep.
At least get something going here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And momentum breeds momentum.
Yes.
So, cool. Anything else, Robin? No? Did somebody just flush a toilet?
No.
Okay. All right.
Sorry.
Any other questions? All right, everybody. Great call. Ton of progress. Good questions. Anything else, send it into the coaching email. We're on the other end here, and let's have a great couple days, and we'll chat with everyone on Thursday.
Okay.
Sound good?
Thanks.
All right.
Thanks, Mike.
Everybody have a good evening.
All right, thanks.
Thanks, Mike.
Take care. Yep, talk soon.